Welcome to the Marketing That Generates podcast, hosted by yours truly, Lauren Powell. For over a decade, I've partnered with business owners around the globe to create and implement their digital marketing strategy. Working together with their teams, we generate more leads, more customers, and more revenue. I'm here to make your business growth simpler by making online marketing simpler. Every week, I'll be interviewing other business owners about the strategies that are keeping their marketing relevant in the long term, so they're not hammered by monthly algorithm adjustments. So are you ready to generate more leads, better leads, and more sales-ready leads online while making the most of your oh-so-valuable time? Then this is the podcast for you. Are you tired of being promised the magic pill that's going to solve all your online marketing challenges? Well, this podcast does not promise quick overnight fixes, nor a one-size-fits-all marketing formula. Instead, it will empower you to think differently and more strategically about your marketing so that you get better results. So whether you're a business owner, solopreneur, or an aspiring entrepreneur, listen in and subscribe for zero fluff and actionable takeaways. And for bonus resources, go to marketingthatgenerates.com. In our current series, I interview the owners of four very different photography businesses, and we dive deep into their marketing. Today's episode is the first of that series, and I kick it off with Sierra Campbell, a newborn photographer based in Orange County, California. Listen up for the smart referral partnership Sierra cultivated early on in her business that has resulted in ongoing new clients. And pay attention to the other critical choices that set her marketing up for success, like narrowing in on newborn photography, increasing her pricing, and having a crystallized process from client intake to delivering a stellar final outcome. Welcome to this week's episode of Marketing That Generates, and I am here with Sierra Campbell, a newborn maternity and family portrait photographer based in Orange County, California. She's a mom of four, and she also happens to be my sister-in-law, so I've had a unique behind-the-scenes look at her business for quite some time. Sierra, I'm so excited you're here. Thank you for joining.
Thanks for asking me. This is really fun. I'm excited to do this.
Yeah, well, I just really love your business and how you've really kind of specialized in newborn maternity and family portrait photography. And I just wanted to share your story a little bit with our listeners because I think they have a lot to learn from what you've done so well over the past, I don't know, is it?
I don't know. I forget actually.
10 years?
Probably more. Probably more. Yeah.
20?
Closer to 15. I don't know. 20, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. So how did you decide to specialize in this area? I think it's a really cool story about something that made your marketing a lot more successful, in my opinion. And so I'd love to just share with the listeners what that looked like.
Well, I mean, it goes way back because my dad's a photographer, or he was, and I grew up going on assignment with him. He was a photojournalist. So I was always going on assignment, more from a photojournalist standpoint, being down on the football fields, basket, because he did sports. So I grew up with that. And then when I moved to California and had a job in PR and at a local newspaper agency doing something else. But I wanted to, when I started realizing I wanted to have kids, I wanted to do something on my own. So that's what took me into photography. So this is kind of a long way around saying it, but I didn't know where I wanted to go with photography. Just from what I learned with him, I kind of did everything. So I just started like with families and friends and just doing whatever. And actually my other sister-in-law, your sister-in-law too, Amanda, asked me to do her boudoir for her wedding. So I was like the first thing I ever really did. And she just was like, we try this. And I was like, sure. So we experimented and had a lot of fun with that. And the funny thing is that kind of like naturally led to where I am because I did a bunch of that for a lot of different women getting married as gifts for their husbands. And slowly that kind of naturally trickled down to babies. And then I kind of started doing their babies. But you know, I did a lot of different genres, I guess you could say, for many, many years. And it took me a while to figure out that I only really wanted to do it. The very main thing I wanted to do was newborn, but it took me a while to get there. I kind of had to do everything to realize that.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty common journey.
Yeah.
I certainly had a similar journey, and a lot of business owners that I speak to, you know, when they have some sort of creative skill like that, you know, you take anyone that will hire you.
Totally.
In whatever kind of genre they want, and then you kind of start to narrow down. So was there some sort of catalyst or reason you eventually narrowed down into newborn only? Was it because you enjoyed it most, or did something else happen?
Yeah, well, the funny thing is one of my coworkers at the time, I worked for the Orange County Business Journal, and she had a baby and I was like, let me come take your baby's pictures, having no idea what I was doing. And it's funny for me to think now, because I was like, I'll just come on my lunch break and I'll just take your baby's pictures. And anybody who does newborn photography knows that that's ridiculous, because it takes so much prep work as far as having everything ready, the room, the temperature, the sounds, the lights. And then it takes, you know, anywhere from 2 to 4 hours to have a successful newborn shoot. So the fact that I was going to like drive there, do it in like 15 minutes and then drive back to work was ridiculous. And it did take me a long time, even having no idea what I was doing. I probably was gone for like 2 hours and like totally stressed out. And so that was kind of my intro to realizing this is not just a normal photo shoot. Like everything else, you can kind of go and BS your way. There's so many good cameras now. Anybody can kind of do anything. So that was kind of my first aha, like this is different. And now where I'm at now, I've realized, I tell all my clients that you can kind of hire anybody you want. I mean, there's, I shouldn't say that, because I don't want to undervalue other photographers, because definitely, there's definitely things to learn. But for newborn photography, I really feel like it's like 40% photography and 60% baby handling. It's so much more than photography. You know, you got to know like how to be safe when you're wrapping babies or posing them, and the temperature, and how to make sure the babies are comfortable and not crying, and that it's not a miserable experience for everybody. It's just, it's a lot more than photography. And when I was doing all the other genres, I never really loved it. And I started to dread certain things. And then at one point I had to really step back and be like, why do I not like this? Why do I feel like I'm not very good at it? Even if people would tell me I was good at it, I didn't feel like I was. And the more I got into newborn photography and started like really going down that rabbit hole of trying to perfect my work, I realized I was actually pretty good at it, and that it separated me from everybody else, because it was just different. You had to learn a lot more than just photography, and I was good at it. I'm good at being around babies, handling babies. So the combo was just a good combo, I guess.
Yeah. And you know, when I see some of your behind the scenes videos, I'm so impressed by how much goes into your shoots. There's a sound machine. There's like crazy amounts of lights. You move the baby very quickly. And even when I sent, you know, a girlfriend your way who's a new mom, she's like, you know, I was afraid I was going to break my baby. And then Sierra's like showing me how how you can move the baby around. And she even said like, oh, I felt like I was getting so much mom advice from Sierra while we were having this shoot.
It's true. A lot of people say that.
Yeah.
Later, like they'll come back with their second baby and they're like, we learned how to do this from you. And we learned how to do this from you. And it's all like baby calming techniques and stuff like that, that kind of come natural to me, I guess. But maybe I've just been doing it for so long and watching and seeing what works. But they're tricks that work for like every baby, you know? So it is fun to meet new parents for the first time who have no idea what they're doing. And to kind of like open that up for them, that it's not that scary and their babies aren't that fragile. It doesn't need to be as hard as, I mean, some are much harder than others, but there's definitely tricks, you know?
Well, I just think it's the most special niche. And because you know, typically start with someone's baby, their first baby, I assume they come back to for baby two, baby three, baby four, and so on. So it's kind of has a nice customer lifetime value there too.
Definitely. Yeah, it's fun. And that does seem to be the case. I seem to do siblings, all the siblings. And sometimes I miss like the first one and then they're like, I wish I would have known about you. But yeah, I feel like that's really fun to establish that bond with clients. And I really get to know the families so well on such a personal, like unique, very intimate level than almost any other genre that I shoot, because you're just so vulnerable and you're really tired and you've just been through so many emotions and you are so emotional because you're so tired. And so I feel like it's a, you know, I connect well with people. I understand how that is. And especially having four kids, I understand kind of the cycle of how each child is different, which is a real thing. You know, like the first baby is much different than the second baby. There's just so many more emotions involved with the second baby, not knowing how to like give enough attention to your first. And those are all repetitive feelings that I think people feel like they're baby experiencing the first time. I definitely felt like that with mine. Like, I didn't know I was going to feel like this. So it's kind of fun for me to be able to be like, everybody feels like this. You're not alone. You know, we all feel like, don't feel bad. Like, it will pass, you know? So it is kind of a fun place to be in. I really enjoy having that connection with the families.
Yeah. And does it naturally also lead into family portraits once the kids are older, or every year for holidays? Do people just keep coming back to you?
It does. It's both. It's kind of interesting. There's some people that I have done year after year for families, like all the way up, their kids are in college, and some are even having babies now, which is really fun. I mean, I didn't do them as a baby. I started as a family portrait, you know, when they were like middle school, and now they have babies, which is kind of crazy. But yeah, it's interesting. It kind of forks. So some people stay with me forever, and then I am a little bit more of a higher price point. So I feel like people will justify that for newborns, because it is such a unique niche. You need to make sure you're really comfortable with who you have. And it's really easy to just blow up badly on a newborn shoot. I've heard so many horror stories, and I get it, because there's so many things that need to be right to make it go right, that it's pretty easy to have horror stories, just as far as crying the whole time and it took 5 hours. And, you know, I've had hard ones myself too. So I get it. If you don't know what you're doing, like, you are in for a really rough go as a photographer who doesn't know what they're doing for a newborn photo shoot.
So you hinted at this earlier, that you started your business, I believe, because you wanted to leave your day job and start having kids, but maybe you could elaborate on that. And if I missed the mark, please correct me.
No, that's exactly right. I got my bachelor's degree from the University of Utah with just communications. I didn't really know what I wanted to do, but I did know that I felt very comfortable in a newsroom since my dad worked for one of the newspapers. I grew up basically in a newsroom, going on assignment, coming back there, developing with him. So it was different because it was film. It wasn't digital at the time. So there was a lot of, like I said, darkroom work, but I felt comfortable in that environment. So I did PR for a little bit. And then when I moved to California, I worked for the Orange County Business Journal, as I mentioned. And again, I just felt really comfortable there. But then once I started having babies, I was like, my first pregnancy, I thought, I always wanted to be at home and raise my kids. Yet I still wanted to make sure I was making money and doing something that fulfilled me. So I kind of started thinking about maybe I should do something else. And it was funny because I just had this little tiny dinky camera. It was not nice at all. It was like a point and shoot. And I had this idea for the advertising agents. I was like, what if we had every week we would fill ad spaces with just in-house ads, because there weren't enough advertisers to fill the whole thing. And I thought, why don't we use those? Why don't we give them back to the advertisers and basically congratulate them or thank them for doing ads with us? And so they loved that. And they're like, yeah, let's do it. So I would go out with this advertising, whoever was doing the account, I would go out with them with my tiny little point and shoot. And they were under the expectation this photographer was coming. And so I would come take their picture with this tiny point and shoot. And they were like, okay, that was it, you know? And they were decent. They still turned out fine. They were not good, but for like a newspaper ad, they were great. They were getting free advertising. They were thrilled. And so it was kind of this funny thing I was just doing on the side, even though that wasn't my job. It was just kind of a fun idea I had, and it turned out really well. But I kind of told my parents about that, and that maybe I should do something on my own, you know. But I didn't really know how to make that jump, because it's quite a big jump into getting all the right gear. And so my dad kind of thought it was hilarious. I was using this little point and shoot, and he's in Utah and I'm in California. I can't borrow any of his gear or anything. So I think it was like about a week later, I was just at my desk and a package showed up for me. From the front office girl brought it back, and there was a camera in there from my parents as a gift. Aww. And I was just like, it gets me emotional even thinking about it. But it was just cool to know that, you know, they really believed in me.
Yeah.
But excuse me, sorry. After getting that, you know, you think, okay, well, I have to try now. Like, they've put so much, you know, like, okay, I'm really kind of screwed. I kind of like have to go for it. It's kind of funny, that pressure you put on yourself from other people. I mean, they never meant to put pressure on me, but I put it on myself, and it was good. And that's kind of, you know, I took my coworker's baby's pictures, and it just kind of started from there. And it gave me an easy out once I had my baby to, you know, they were hoping I would come back, but I think they kind of knew I wasn't. And that's just where it started. And so she's 14 now. So, I mean, it's easy to say I've been doing it for at least 15 years. So I guess that kind of takes you back. But yeah, that's kind of where the transition happened.
Yeah, that's incredible. And kind of to that point, because you have four kids and you work and you shoot newborns, which can be a little hard to predict when the babies come in. Like, how do you manage that booking schedule, and what does that look like, and how do you stay sane?
I know. I'm I don't know. That's like a day-to-day thing of how I stay sane, but it's just at a day at a time. But for newborns, I always, in an ideal world, I don't consider myself a high volume photographer. I feel like I would lose the love for it. So I really feel like I am more low volume, but high quality. And I even like my packages are like that. Some photographers will sell you like 70 to 100 images. And I'm not like that. Like my lowest package has 10 images and it's pretty pricey. But I feel like if you get those 10 and you invest, those 10 are going to be better than like 100 from someone who doesn't know what they're doing. You don't need more than that. And I understand like wanting more than that. And I definitely offer more than that. But I feel like the quality is so much more important, especially for a newborn shoot. Like you want to make sure you have really high quality. So yeah, I only try to book one or two a week as far as newborns. And so I only try to book due dates like that. I try to book one or two newborn due dates per week and knowing that anything can come weeks early or weeks late. And somehow it just shifts. It just kind of works out. So I don't, sometimes I do have kind of like a really busy week where I have to shoot a few, but I never do them in the same day because it's like a marathon. I don't even realize how much work it takes out of me, but I have a bad back because of it, just leaning over in very bad positions for myself and a heavy camera around my neck, which is always around my neck for the safety of the baby, brings that weight down and then the baby brings the weight down. So I think that's kind of also a problem with newborn photographers is back issues. It's kind of interesting. I think everybody has that. A lot of people I know have had to quit because of it. But I just try to keep it a few newborn due dates per week at the most. And then the winter gets really hard because then I start showing my family start booking in like the fall. So the fall is generally just like a head down, get through it time because that's a very high income time for me. It probably is like very, very heavily loaded from like September to December. And that's just kind of my busy season, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, moving on to your marketing a little bit and just touching base on pricing, I think pricing is a great marketing strategy to be have more of a premium price, but deliver a better quality than someone who's doing high volume. Also allows you to work less and make the same or more revenue and just see higher profit on the back end of every project. So, you know, it kind of depends on what game you're playing, but when time is scarce and there's a lot of unpredictability in your schedule, I think that's a really smart marketing strategy.
Yeah, I feel like it's helped. Also, I feel like I deliver a better product that way because anything you do, you burn out on if you do too much of it. And so much of why I love it is because I love what I do. But when I find out I'm getting too many, I start to lose that. And I feel like I'm just like burn and churn. And that's not really fair to anybody, you know? So yeah, I think this, but it's taken a while to get to that price point for sure. And there's still people that are way higher than me. I mean, there always will be. And I feel like I'm in like a comfortable place where I don't feel like too high, but definitely I'm not going to be like, I do recognize I will not be a good candidate for like Facebook. Hey, does anybody have like a, you know, newborn photographer? Sometimes that works, but for the most part, those people are more price shopping. So that's not really ever going to be very helpful to me. And I don't even offer my services. Sometimes a friend will, and I'm like, thanks, that's so nice. And that's great. Anything helps. But I recognize that's not where my clients are coming from. So that will kind of lead me to this other part of how I just luckily fell into this. It's for newborn photographers. I feel like it's the very end goal is to get into like an OBGYN's office, right? To have your work displayed there because then you're right there, right in front of everybody. So I've always kind of known that. And I went to my very first OB who was mine when I was pregnant. And I was so nervous. I was going to pitch it to her. Like, here's some of my pictures. Would you be willing to do this? And she was so nice and I knew her, I had a relationship with her and I pulled it out and she was like, oh, you know, we get hit up like this all the time. And so we just have to say no to everybody. And I was like, okay, totally mortified. And I was like, okay, I'm never going to do that again. That was really embarrassing, you know? So I just didn't.
Well,
I just was like,
pregnant.
Yeah, totally hormonal. I knew her on another, you know, so I was kind of like, okay, shoot, that went badly. But they just had a very plain, boring office. And looking back, I'm like, she missed out because their office is so boring. And so then I just never said anything. Then years later, another family friend who's an OB who I couldn't go to at the time because my insurance didn't take her. She's awesome. She's one of the very best. She's at Newport Women's Center. Oh, I'm screwing it up. Newport Women's Health. I want to get that right. But they're in Newport. She's like the very, very best, Gigi Kroll. And she called me one day and left a message on my phone. I didn't even know. So I picked up the message and the message said something like, hey, Sierra, again, remember, I know her on like a personal basis. Hey, Sierra, we had this office flood. We have to redo the whole office. And I just love your work. And I'm wondering if you would be interested in maybe letting us use some of your images to redecorate when we redo this. And I was just like, what? I had to listen to the message like 10 times. Like, am I hearing this correctly? I didn't even have to ask. She's like the best possible option ever. I mean, I respect her so much. And, you know, she's one of the main OBs at Hogue and just everything about it. I didn't even want to call her back because I thought she'd be like, just kidding. It felt too like good, you know, still it's been years. And I'm still like, they're going to tell me they don't want it anymore. But I mean, no, they've just been so amazing. I still pinch myself. Like, how did that happen? So I called her back and I was like, yes, I'll do anything. I'll do everything, whatever you want, you know. And so she was super grateful, where I think the whole time I should be the grateful one. You know, their whole office is decorated with my, it's like a gallery. I go in there and I feel like it's my art gallery. And it's so cool because you walk in there and it's so many emotions from, I think everybody. I've had a lot of people say, I just go in there and I just look at the picture because they're in every exam room. It's in the front room. It's in like the checkout. And they are just, I don't know. I mean, I'm biased, but they're such pretty pictures and they really make you like think and like connect and think about where you are in your life. And that just, it's like, it sells me. I mean, I just am so grateful to have that. They stick flyers in every new mom's packet. I mean, it's like a gold mine. I still don't know how I'm so lucky. So.
Well, I was hoping we were going to talk about Dr. Kroll because I've been to her office. I see her pictures everywhere. Okay. Yeah. You know, and I just think about what a amazing marketing opportunity that was for you, and a win-win for both businesses because, you know, it helps the patients recognize where they are in their life and see this exciting milestone that's coming their way. And you get, you know, your name out in front of so many new moms who are your perfect ideal clients. So I just think it's been a really smart strategy for you, even if it kind of came about serendipitously.
Oh, yes. Totally. I try to do everything I can to nurture that because they mean so much to me. And that whole staff, the whole staff is so amazing. All the women in there, I love going in there just to like say hi. But, you know, I took all their headshots and made sure I had all the pictures for their website. So of their building and of their office space and everything. Cause I'm like, let me do whatever I can. You know, I just feel like they're doing so much for me. And then, you know, it's funny because Dr. Cole will be like, no, you know, you do so much for us. And I'm like, okay. But no, really, you do so much for me, you know, so I'm just so grateful to them. I mean, it's the best and they're just such great people. It just is like the icing on the cake.
Yeah. And, you know, having one, I guess, referral partner is what I would call it, who can send you new client after new client after new client is, I don't know, so precious, you know, where if you're relying on one client to refer one other person for you, just get high volume for only one partner. And then you focus on nurturing that one relationship instead of, I don't know, 50 or 100, which can be challenging to do well, especially with your schedule and having kids and taking the shoots and editing all the photos. It's a lot to juggle.
Yeah, it is. And I'm so grateful for it because I don't have the time and I never have done any of that. Sometimes I'm like, maybe I should, but then somehow my schedule miraculously keeps filling itself. I mean, not crazy. Like I said, I'm not like a huge high volume and it's not necessarily because I turn things down. Sometimes I do. Sometimes it's too much and I'm like, I just can't. And I really don't like doing that. But for the most part, it just kind of keeps it where it needs to be. It's been kind of like a good, so I really haven't had to do any more marketing, but yeah, you're right. It's just like a continuous referral system that I have there that won't ever burn out unless the relationship ends. But I'm just really lucky to have it because before that it was all word of mouth, you know, which is also great. And I love word of mouth more than almost anything because you always kind of know the type of client that you're getting and they must kind of know how I am because they've talked about it, you know? So I feel like it's really important to make sure that my clients and I kind of match on the, you know, we're on the same page as far as just our personalities and all that.
Well, yeah, you're spending what, multiple hours with them with their most precious
totally.
Gift.
Totally.
You know?
Yeah. No, I lose sleep over that sometimes. Like I tell my clients when they call me, I've had, especially with COVID, I have a lot of like intimate conversations with my clients before the photo shoot. Cause they're like, I don't know, like it's scary. And I'm like, I get it. Like I'm there. I understand. Like believe me, but I understand this is like your very, very most precious thing. And I feel it. And I, you know, I feel the pressure of it. And so I will do everything in my power. Like, it's not something I take lightly, you know? So it's nice to be on the same page with people as far as that. They understand that I'm taking it seriously and that they can talk to other people. I've had some people come who are terrified and they still come. And then after, they're just like, I'm so glad I did that. I feel so safe. I feel so, for them to pass it on to somebody else, like, I was terrified, never left my house, but I still went and did it. And then I was okay. And I was happy. Like, it was a good feeling at the end instead of like, what did I do? You know?
Yeah. Your clients are doing the selling for you.
Yeah.
So when
I know.
Make a referral, someone's already kind of bought in, which is really great. So you mentioned Dr. Gigi Kroll's practice, word of mouth. Is there any other way that kind of new people are coming to you and finding you, I guess, online, offline?
So the only other way that I would say, besides referral and Dr. Kroll's office, are every once in a while, I'll get a random Instagram follower. And that always kind of surprises me because, you know, I think they find me by hashtag, which I'm kind of shocked. I've had one just recently come up, and those ones are usually like a little bit farther away. One drive up from San Diego and one down from LA. So it's like an hour, but yeah. So I'm always kind of surprised when I get that and like totally honored, because that is no kind of a relationship. They haven't heard from anybody else. It's like purely my work. So those are kind of like my one-offs. Like I said, I'm always really honored to get those. And I have a questionnaire that I send out to all of my clients that kind of asks them like, what are you looking for? What is your, you know, what's your aesthetic? All that. Where did you hear from me is one of the questions. So that's where I generally figure it out. Other than that, I don't have a way to track it, but it's just from my questionnaire that people will tell me. And generally it's either Dr. Kroll or a friend. And then, like I said, every once in a while, Instagram, but that's it.
That's awesome. And I think the simpler you can keep your marketing, the more time and space you have to do everything else in the business, because marketing only brings in the customer, but you still have to fulfill on your promise, and then
right.
There's finances, and then there's a whole lot of other stuff that has to happen behind the scenes. So
yeah, I'm lucky. It's just been easier.
You are. And sometimes I find people try to do too many platforms or try to do too many channels and spread themselves a bit too thin, and then don't actually get the results they're hoping for from their marketing. Do you think staying really streamlined and focused has been an asset for you?
Yeah, I think so. And like I said, I recognize that there's some places I probably could put more energy, but probably wouldn't have the outcome I wanted. Like Facebook, exactly, is what it's more of like a bargain hunter area. At least I feel like for Facebook. So I'm not going to really put much energy into that.
I think that's really smart, is understanding what quality of leads are coming in from what channels, so you know where to spend your time.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's hard to be everywhere.
Yeah, it is. I could probably do an ad on Facebook if I'm going to offer maybe a big set of mini sessions. I probably could book up pretty easily. But I'm also very careful about mini sessions. I don't do a lot of them. And a lot of photographers do now, just to kind of do like the high volume. And I get that. I'll do them every once in a while, but I also don't want it to discredit my full shoots. You know, why would I do that? You know, because you get so much more personalized individual attention. And like I said, the mini shoots are burn and churn, and that's what I'm trying to stay away from. So,
yeah, I think it's really smart. So I'd love to chat about your Instagram for a second, because I know you're pretty active there. And I don't know if you started this year or last year, but you started doing a lot of behind the scenes videos in addition to your polished edited photos. And what do you think sharing some of that, I don't know, a peek behind the curtain of what happens when you do a shoot? Do you think that's helped business at all or helped educate people?
I think both, for sure. I get so many people probably commenting on that more than anything. Like, I love seeing the behind the scenes, and I had no idea what goes into it, and you're so good with the babies. So yeah, I feel like it's helped just people following me for fun. I think it's interesting to them and they're curious to see, because there is so much that happens. And I also think it's really good for my future clients to see how comfortable I am handling their baby. Like we said before, it's like their very most precious asset. And it's hard to even let like a family member hold your baby, let alone like a stranger. So I recognize that. I think it's helpful for them to maybe see me handle the babies behind the scenes, how comfortable I am with them and how much care and caution I take. So yeah, I think that has helped. And I'm always telling people that I'm happy for them to take behind the scenes pictures of videos, because sometimes that can be a weird thing for photographers. They don't like you doing that. But I don't mind. I think it's fun. I think it's fun to share. And also, I'm not worried at all that anybody can take with their phones what I can take. And that's because of the certain situation. There's a difference of being like at the beach, and the iPhones are so great now, like you probably could simulate it pretty well and just not buy the photographers. So I can see that being a problem in any other field of photography. But with newborn photography, especially when it's not natural light, meaning I am using only my light source and I have everything else literally blacked out. I have every window blacked out. I even have my walls blacked out because I don't want any light bouncing where I don't want it to. I like to control my light very much so, but that's a whole nother thing. But what I'm saying is everything's controlled by my flash, which is synced to my camera. So when they're taking a picture with their cell phone, it's not even triggering the flash. It's going to be like two completely different pictures at the end of the day. So I have no issue with them taking behind the scenes pictures because what they take and what I take are different. And it is fun to have behind the scenes for them too. I think I would want that as a parent because it's kind of a cool experience. And people comment to me on that also. They'll have like their mother-in-law or their mom come and be there. And they're always like, that was like watching a movie or a show or something. You know, I think people kind of become entranced in like watching how it all goes. I have a very strict, well, not strict because you can't be strict with babies, but I have a flow of how I like to do each pose. And I have it like printed out because your mind can kind of like start going all over the place. And then you lose track of what you're doing. And then the shoot is hard to manage, but I have a flow chart. So I make sure it's from one pose to the next with the most minimal amount of moving the baby. And so it's very strategic and very planned out from before the baby even gets there. So yeah, I have a lot of people comment about how they really love watching the whole process.
Yeah. And it just reinforces, here's why, you know, you pay Sierra a lot more than, you know, your photographer who doesn't do a lot of newborn shoots or who's kind of approaching that churn and burn, which is one strategy, but your strategy is different. And understanding the expertise that's behind that, I think really helps sell your services. So, and then how do you make sure your potential customers or potential clients or current clients are following you on Instagram? Do you send them a link before or after a shoot? How do you make sure they're kind of staying in touch with you in that way?
Oh, I'm not very good at it, honestly, from the front end. A lot of times I don't even know if they're following me. But after the fact, so I have a pretty intense liability and contract waiver that I have everybody sign beforehand. To be honest, it took me a long time to do that because I was always like, oh, I don't want to like step on people's toes and that feels uncomfortable. But then I started realizing I have got to protect myself because this is like probably the most, you know, there's so much liability in what I do. So anyway, I started getting to the point with a lot of what I do now, actually, I should probably say across the board, I started thinking, I really don't care what anybody else thinks. If this is too much for them, it's probably a good thing we didn't, you know, hook up. Or if somebody says your contract is too much and like, you know, you're giving all rights to release everything, or, you know, I can't do anything or whatever. If something's too much, then I talk to them and I'm like, you're right. Like, this isn't who I am. I'm totally not this type of person. And I'm okay with like crossing that out or moving that or changing it to adjust to you, because anything I ever do will always ask for your permission. Even though you've signed this, I always double ask. So I know they've signed this whole contract. I will still be like, do you mind if I post this on Instagram? Do you mind if I tag you? I don't take my contract for that. That's purely for my own liability. So that brings me back to saying, after the shoot, I will always ask them, is it okay if I post this? And most of the time, they're okay with it. Some of the time, they're like, I'd rather not. But that's very, very rare. Sometimes they're like, yes, just don't tag me. So I just go with them. And at that point, I do follow them and I'll know if they follow me. So yeah, it's kind of on the back end of that, I'd say.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. Well, Sierra, it sounds like you've really honed in on your process, I don't know, from start to finish over the last 15 years, which to me, I just hear like this makes your life easier and delivers a better product at the end of the day. Is that something you would recommend to anyone who's either starting out or not quite as far along as you, do you think that that's really helped you stand out? I don't know, in some ways as a marketing strategy, because you're just so dialed in terms of how everything flows.
For sure. I mean, I think it took a while to get here. And like I said before, same with the contract. There was a lot of things that I didn't feel comfortable being bossy about, I guess. And maybe a lot of things that I wasn't educated enough on to feel like I could be bossy about. So I've done, I try to make it a point to do at least one kind of education every year for myself in specifically newborn photography, whether I am going under someone who I'm mentoring under. And a lot of the time at this point, I don't feel like I'm learning a lot, but I am seeing different ways they do it or different tricks or different little nuggets of information or just to keep me up on it. So I feel like at this point, I've learned enough to be very, very comfortable in kind of demanding what I want. And it's interesting because now that I've kind of gotten over that insecurity, my email that I send out to my clients is very detailed on what to do, because I've realized if I'm not bossy and I'm not telling this is what you need to do, then we're going to have a baby who's overtired or situations are not right or whatever. And so my list tells them exactly what they need to do to give them the very best outcome. And then everybody's more happy. And again, at the beginning, I was like, oh man, I'm like saying you need to bring a pacifier. And that can be like a trigger for some people. I don't use a pacifier. And so I kind of had to get over that and say, just bring one. And then of course, like you get here and I'm very respectful. I do not need to use it at all. And I usually don't ever. It's kind of like a backup plan. And you know, there's other things behind it. But I think people probably think that I'm a lot more type A than I am when they're booking. And I've grown to be okay with that, because I'm not like that at all. And that's why a lot of times if I feel like a little hesitation from somebody, I will call them and talk to them just like you are here with me. And I will be like, look, this contract is protect me, but what makes you uncomfortable? And these are going to be the things I want to tell you to do, but it's really just to make the shoot easier on everybody. And, you know, so I'd rather be a little bit more aggressive up front so I don't get somebody who's like, I can't believe you told me to bring a pacifier, you know? So I kind of start a little more heavy. And then if it's going to weed out people who take offense to things easily, like I'm also okay with that, because I'm pretty easygoing and I like my clients to be pretty easygoing. I realize a lot of people are dealing with a lot more heightened stress and anxiety at this time of their life. And so if it kind of pushes them to be like, I don't want to work with her, then I'm probably okay with that. I really like working with certain types of personalities, you know? So I feel like if it's too much, then it's okay.
You know, I've evolved my business in a similar way where I have a pretty hefty questionnaire up front before I'll even jump on a call with someone. And I find that if someone complains about that form, they're not going to be able to put in the work that I need them to do in order to have a successful marketing outcome. So, you know, I also learned to become okay with, you know what, I'm not right for everyone and that's okay, but I am right for a few people.
Totally. And I think it's better to realize that up front, because I don't know about you, but I've had some times where it's just not been a good fit. And I'm like, I would rather just refund you everything at this point and just waste all of that time than like continue down this path, you know? And that probably makes me sound like really terrible, because I feel like I'm very easygoing, but and I feel like I always try to make it very, you know, nice and cordial up front, but sometimes I'm just like, okay, this, I saw the red flags and this probably just shouldn't have happened from the beginning, you know?
I think any service provider can identify with that. And just because you or I aren't the right fit for someone doesn't mean there's not someone else out there who is the right fit.
Absolutely. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Sierra, I so appreciate your time and just sharing the behind the scenes of everything that kind of has got you to this point. Before we sign off, where can our listeners go to learn more about your work, more about your business?
Probably just Instagram. I admit I do not do that much anymore. I used to write a blog, but I've just like run out of all time to do everything else. And since what I'm doing right now is okay, every time like I think, oh shoot, maybe my calendar's not looking that full. Maybe I'll start the blog back up or start like a mailing list. Then everything picks up again. So I would say at this point, pretty much the only thing is Instagram. And I'm trying to be a little bit more active. I kind of have to force myself on there because that's pretty much the only anything I do right now. But yeah, I'd say Instagram is probably the biggest one.
Okay. And Sierra's handle, I have linked in the show notes, but it's Sierra Campbell Photography on Instagram. And you can also find her website in the show notes as well. So thank you, Sierra, so much. I really appreciate your time. Thank you for being here.
Of course. Anytime.
Heck yeah. You just finished another episode of the Marketing That Generates podcast. I hope you found a few takeaways that you can put into action right away. If you want more on today's episode, head over to marketingthatgenerates.com for show notes, links, bonus resources, and related episodes. Plus, if you're looking to connect with other amazing business owners just like you, be sure to join my free community. You can get access at marketingthatgenerates.com. Thanks for listening, and I'll meet you back here next week.